The Old Testament is an incredible gift to the church. Amen? We have been studying the Old Testament book by book, one book per Sunday. We've been off of that for a few weeks, but by God's grace, we are going to continue that today. You have your notes in your bulletin, and you'll see that we've given you a little chart there. The Old Testament is divided into five sections. We have completed, by God's grace, we have completed the law, which is Genesis through Deuteronomy. We have completed the history books, Joshua through Esther. Today, we are beginning a brand new section, section number 3, called the poetry, starting with the book of Job and working to through Song of Solomon. It's my privilege to give you a summary of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and Song of Solomon. Mike McGlackey will be bringing us Ecclesiastes. But today, we are going to go through the beautiful, beautiful book of Job, a gift to us. When I was in high school, there was a wonderful, wonderful lady in my home church named Cheryl. She was the children's choir director. She was a piano teacher for many of the kids in the church. As the children's choir director, she was one of the mentors of the little kids in our church. Every kid in the church knew this dear lady. She loved the Lord Jesus, and she loved music, and she loved helping kids sing about Jesus Christ. She developed leukemia, and as this disease began to take its toll on her, she called for the elders of the church. My dad was one of those elders, and as was his custom, he took me along on several of these prayer meetings, and I went along on this one. And the elders came, and they made a prayer circle. My dad invited me into the circle, as was his custom. And the circle was the elders, me, and this dear lady's husband. And we prayed around the room, and those of you that know my testimony know that my mother's life was saved as a result of the answered prayer of one of these elders' prayer meetings. We prayed around the room, and my dad always made sure that I was free to pray. I was not an elder, and I knew my place in the room. But we prayed around the room, and I prayed, and we got around to this woman's husband. And he said something that I will never, ever, ever, ever forget as long as I live. He's praying out loud, and he said, "Lord, though I can't trace your hand, I can trust your heart of love." And I'm standing in the circle, and I heard that. And I went, wow. "Though I can't trace your hand, Lord, I can trust your heart of love." And the men prayed, and my father prayed, and we went out of the room rejoicing. And she died. And that began a very, very, very dark time in my life. Right about that time, other things started happening in my life that I could not figure out. I loved God. I was active. I was serving in the church. My father was serving in the church. My mother was serving in the church. I was being a good boy, whatever you want to call it. And things started happening in my life that I couldn't figure out. And I began to ask myself a very, very difficult question. Where is God? The book of Job is given to you and me to lift our minds and hearts to Almighty God, even when life doesn't make sense. It's a wonderful gift to the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the book. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart, that God would soften your heart, and that this beautiful book of Job would glorify God in your mind and heart. Would you pray right now for the other people in this room that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, and this beautiful book of Job would glorify God in their minds and hearts? Now would you pray for me that God would help me give an accurate summary of the message of this book? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Glorify your name in this place and around the world today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go fast. If you're new to Trinity Baptist Church, you might not get used to this, but you need to fasten your seatbelt right now because I'm going to put the pedal to the floor and we're going to go through the book of Job in one Sunday. And I promise you this, it will still be today when we are done. All right, in your notes, you have an outline. Introduction of Job is chapter 1, 1 through 5. Satan's attack on Job, chapter 1 through the end of 2. Job's lament and his friend's response is chapters 3 through chapter 31. Elihu speaks, chapter 32 to 37. And finally, the climax of the book of Job, God speaks in Job 38 through 41. Job concludes with Job's repentance and restoration in chapter 42. Job 1:1, behind me on the screen. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Now God comes to God and says, Job only loves you because you've blessed him so much. Job was really rich. He had lots of kids. He had lots of sheep and ox. He was a very, very blessed man. And Satan says, Job only loves you because you've poured out your blessings on him. If you make his life terrible, he will curse you to your face. And God says, okay, he is in your power. And God allows Satan to attack this man, and in chapters 1 and 2, he loses everything. His riches, his children, his family, and finally his health. He loses everything. And in chapter 3, he begins this 27-chapter lament of how bad everything is. Three friends come to Job, and throughout this middle section of Job, chapters 3 through 31, Job laments and his friends respond. Let's look at some samples. Job 3, 24, For my groaning comes at the side of my food. My cries pour out like water. What I fear comes upon me. What I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet, and I am not at rest. But turmoil comes. Job continues to complain to God. Look at Job 7, 19 and 20. Will you never turn your gaze away from me? Job is talking to God. Nor let me alone until I swallow my spit. Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target so that I am a burden to myself? Job complains, and throughout this middle section of Job, his friends rebuke him. Look at chapter 19 as Job is talking to his friends now. He says, if indeed you vaunt yourselves against me and prove my disgrace to me, know then that God has wronged me and has closed his net around me. Look at Job 21, verse 7. See if you've ever said this. Why do the wicked still live? Continue on, also become very powerful. Look at Job 30, verse 20, behind me on the screen. I cry out to you for help, but you do not answer. Have you ever felt that way? This is Job's lament to God. I cry out to you for help, but you do not answer me. I stand up, and you turn your attention against me. Look at verse 27. I am seething within and I cannot relax. Days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning without comfort. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. I have become a brother to jackals and a companion of ostriches. My skin turns black on me. My bones burn with fever. My harp is turned to mourning and my flute to the sound of those who weep. Job continues his lament until chapter 32. Have you ever felt like Job? At the end of chapter 31, his friends give up. And they stop talking altogether. But we are introduced to a brand new figure. Chapter 32, a brand new friend, a younger man this time, named Elihu. In chapter 32, we read this on the screen. Then these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. But the anger of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, burned against Job. His anger burned because he justified himself before God. And his anger burned against his three friends because they had found no answer. And yet condemned Job. Elihu speaks in six chapters, 32 to 37. These are very, very beautiful chapters. He speaks the truth. He exalts God. This is a wonderful section. Why don't you join me in chapter 33? Verse 8. Elihu is addressing Job, and he says this: "Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I've heard the sound of your words. Job, you have said this: I am pure, without transgression. I am innocent, and there is no guilt in me. Behold, God invents pretexts against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths." Now Elihu says to Job, "Behold, let me tell you, you're not right in this. For God is greater than man." Skip over to chapter 34 and follow along with me in your Bible or on the screen. This is Elihu again, talking. "For Job has said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my right. Should I lie concerning my right? My wounds are incurable, though I am without transgression." Now Elihu corrects him. "What man is like Job, who drinks up derision like water, who goes in company with the workers of iniquity and walks with wicked men? For he has said, it profits a man nothing when he is pleasing to God." That was my struggle. This dear woman served God all her life, caught leukemia. We prayed to God for her, and she died. I was serving the Lord, and my life was going terrible. Have you ever felt that way? It profits a man nothing when he is pleasing, when he is pleased with God. "Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding." Elihu speaking. "Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, and from the Almighty to do wrong. For he pays a man according to his work. He makes him find it according to his deeds. Surely God will not act wickedly, and the Almighty will not pervert justice." Amen? This is a wonderful book. In your notes, what is the value of reading Job? Why should we read Job? The primary value of Job is this, Trinity Baptist Church, the exaltation of God. This is why you should read the book. The exaltation of God. The next thing in your notes, look at this. Sinful man will always exalt himself too much and diminish God. Sinful man will always exalt himself too much and diminish God. The book of Job is given to us to exalt God. When even in the midst of our suffering, we're focused on ourselves. Even in the midst of our suffering, we focus on ourselves. The book of Job is given to us to exalt God. In your notes, the book of Job puts God in his proper place and puts us in ours. Very important book. And this is the main thing I want you to get from the book of Job. We Christians today must read this book over and over and over again so that God can be exalted to the proper place in our minds and hearts. We must read the book of Job over and over again so that God may be exalted to his proper place in our minds and hearts. That's what the book does. After you read through Job's pain and suffering, I hope I've been able to show you from these brief examples that as you read through the book of Job, you will relate to him. You'll say, yeah, I felt that way. Yes, I felt that way. Where is God when this happens? Where is God when this happens? Why this? Why are things going this way? This doesn't make sense. You will relate to Job as you read through those 30 chapters. You will relate to Job, and then you get to the end of the book. The last five or six chapters of the book are a masterpiece of poetry, exalting the majesty and greatness of God. You must read this section. You must read this book over and over and over again. Job is a place the Christian must go to often to know, to believe, to be reminded of the greatness of Almighty God, and that we may be put in our proper place underneath Him. Turn to chapter 37, and let's look at a section of this beautiful poetry. Chapter 37, Elihu is still speaking. 37, starting from verse 5 in your Bible or on the screen. God thunders with his voice wondrously, doing great things which we cannot comprehend. For to the snow God says, fall on the earth. And to the downpour and the rain God says, be strong. He seals the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beast goes into its lair and remains in its den. Out of the south comes the storm, out of the north the cold. From the breath of God ice is made, and the expanse of the waters is frozen. Psalm says, the heavens declare the glory of God. When I was with my dad, I had the privilege of driving to Alaska, and we spent a bunch of time around Alaska, and we went way up north in August. We went way up north, and we went to the coast, and I had the privilege of getting out of the truck and walking and seeing icebergs in the ocean. And I read this from the breath of God. Ice is made. Also with moisture, he loads the thick cloud. He disperses the cloud of his lightning. It changes direction, turning around by its guidance, that it may do whatever he commands it. Have you ever been back east? Or maybe those of you who have been here for a long time, have you ever seen an awesome, terrifying thunderstorm? God does that. He creates it. He causes it. Whether for correction or for his word or for loving kindness, he causes it to happen. Listen to this, O Job. Stand and consider the wonders of God. After Elihu finishes speaking, the climax of the book of Job starts in verse 38, where God himself speaks. Turn with me, please, to chapter 38, verse 1. God, Job has been justifying himself. Job has been complaining against God. He says, I am righteous, but now my life is awful. And finally, God speaks. Job 38, verse 1. Look at this. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, I will ask you, and you, Job, instruct me. I'm going to ask you some questions, Job, and I want your answer. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who set the earth's measurements? Since you know, who stretched the line on it? On what are the earth's bases sunk? Who laid earth's cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who enclosed the sea with doors when bursting forth it went out from the womb? Isn't this incredible poetry? You have got to read this. God glorifying, God honoring, an incredible poetic book that we must read often. Who enclosed the sea with doors when bursting forth it went out from the womb? When I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors, and I said, Thus far you shall come but no further, and here shall your proud waves stop. Have you ever in your life, Job, commanded the morning and cause the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and they stand forth like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the uplifted arm is broken. Have you, Job, have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, Job? Have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me, if you know all this, where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home. You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of distress, for the day of war and battle? Where is the way that the light is divided? Or the east wind scattered on the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the flood, or a way for the thunderbolt, to bring rain on the land without people, on a desert without a man in it, to satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the seeds of grass to sprout? Has the rain a father? Who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb has come the ice and the frost of heaven? Who has given its breath? Water becomes hard like stone, and the surface of the deep is imprisoned. Can you bind the chains of Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth a constellation in its season, and guide the bear with her satellites? He's talking to Job, and he says, look up at the stars. Do you know where they came from? Did you do that, Job? Did you create those stars? Last night I was outside, And with these beautiful smartphones, you can do anything with these. I don't have this app on my phone, but I was with a friend last night who is a stargazer of sorts, and he has an app on his phone. You push the phone, and you hold it up to the sky, and it charts the stars. This is Jupiter, and this is Venus, and this is Orion's belt, and over here, and you can even do it below the horizon. I'm looking at it, I said, where's Venus? And he goes, oh, it's over there. And I thought, what is this phone? This is crazy. But there was a really, really bright star right over there. And I said, what's that? And he goes, oh, that's Jupiter. It's Jupiter? I can see it? I'm not an astronomical professor or anything, but I do know this. Write this down. This is from your pastor. Jupiter is far away. But there it is. It's that big. It's that awesome. And what blows my mind is God made it. And he's looking at Job, who's looking up at the stars, and he says, Job, did you do that? Did you do that? Look at verse 33. Do you know the ordinances of the heavens or fix their rule over the earth? Do you control the stars, Job? The gravity that binds it all together, that makes things work the way they do? Did you design that? Did you control it? Are you the sustainer of the universe? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of water will cover you? Job, can you look up at the sky and say, I would like it to rain now. Can you send forth lightning that they may go and say to you, here we are. Do you realize that, Trinity Baptist Church? God can summon lightning. Come here. Okay. Storm in Indiana. Right now. Who has put wisdom in the innermost being or given understanding to the mind? Who can count the clouds by wisdom or tip the water jars to the heavens? When the dust hardens into a mass and the clods stick together, can you hunt the prey for the lion? Or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens and lie in wait in their lair? Who prepares for the raven its nourishment when its young cry to God and wander about without food? Beautiful chapter. Look quickly at chapter 40 on the screen behind me. Will you really annul my judgment? Who will you condemn me that you may be justified, Job? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? Chapter 41, God is talking about this incredible animal that he calls Leviathan. Leviathan, incredible, incredible animal. Look at these words. No one is so fierce that he dares to arouse him. Who then is he that can stand before him? Who has given to me that I should repay? Whatever is under the whole earth is mine. He talks to Job in 38, 39, 40, and 41. And now turn with me to chapter 42. And here's Job's response. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. That's the gift of Job to us. That's the gift of Job to us. In your heart, God should be exalted and you should be humbled. In your heart, God should be exalted and you should be humbled. Please remember that the sin in you always wants to tip this scale. God should be here, you should be here. And the sin in you always wants to go like this. And the gift of Job, you read Job, and it helps you put God in his proper place and you in yours. It's very, very, very important. Reading the book of Job reminds us also of a very, very important lesson. This is in your notes. Suffering does not mean God is absent. Suffering does not mean God is absent. They discovered writing on the wall of one of the Nazi concentration camps when they were going through it, and it said this: I believe in the sun even when it doesn't shine. I believe in love even when it isn't shown. I believe in God even when he doesn't speak. Suffering does not mean God is absent. Suffering does not necessarily result from sin. Good people suffer too. I told you about my dear friend who died from leukemia. And my own personal struggle with the question, where is God? Where is God? My own life was spiraling downward and it didn't make sense to me. All of my Christian life, I had learned this lesson. Serve God and everything will go great. Don't serve God and your life is ruined. That had been my experience all through childhood. Serve God, life is great. Don't serve God, your life is ruined. And suddenly I was serving God and my life was terrible. And I said, where is God? And I began to doubt him. And I went through a crisis of personal doubt in my own life. And do you know what brought me back? The book of Job. I read the book of Job. And the book of Job brought me back to faith in God. I love this book. Job makes this awesome statement in chapter 13. In the midst of his suffering, before God instructed him, before God corrected him, in the midst of his suffering, he says this: be silent before me so that I may speak. Then let come on me what may. What shall I take? My flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. All over the world today, our persecuted brothers and sisters are saying the same thing. Will you say it with them? Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. Look in your notes. The book of Job strengthens our faith and encourages us to keep trusting God. The book of Job strengthens our faith and encourages us to keep trusting God. I think our persecuted brothers and sisters understand that it's not God that's slaying them. Nonetheless, they are saying, I have counted the cost, and he is worth it. Some of you younger people, people that grew up in my youth group, might remember a special guest speaker at beach camp called Larry Warner. His name was Larry Warner. Wonderful guy. Good close friend of mine. 100% servant of the Lord. Serves God full time and has served God full time for his entire life. He was a youth pastor. He was a pastor. Now he's started his own Christian organization. Loves God. And he used to lead spiritual retreats, prayer retreats. In fact, he still leads them. Prayer retreats. Where you go up for a weekend and he leads you in prayer for the whole weekend. It's a wonderful thing. And I signed up for one of his retreats. And a couple weeks before, about a month before the retreat was to begin, his son was driving back to college, got a flat tire, pulled over to the side of the road, went around in an attempt to change the tire, and he was hit by a truck and killed. 19 years old. And I read about this. And I thought, well, I'm sure the prayer retreat's going to be canceled, so I'll make other plans. And the prayer retreat was not canceled. 4 weeks later, I went up. It was held in Oceanside. I went up and I met with him and all those that had signed up for the retreat. It was about 20 of us, and he stood before us, and he made this statement. He says, you all know that my son was killed 4 weeks ago on the freeway, 19 years old. I'd like to tell you that I know why that happened, but I don't. I'd like to tell you that I prayed and I figured out the whole thing, but I haven't. I have absolutely no idea why that would happen. I have no verses to explain it. I can't figure it out at all. I am at a complete loss to know why God would let that happen, but I do know this. God loves me. And we're going to have this retreat, and it's going to be awesome. Never forget that as long as I live. There's a last thing that Job reminds us of. This is in your notes. We have a Redeemer. We have a Redeemer. In chapter 19, he makes this wonderful statement. This is Job. This is before God instructed him. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. This is when Job was still righteous in his own eyes. And his friends are accusing him, and he says, I know that I have an advocate. I know that I have someone who's on my side. And for Christians, we have that same wonderful confidence. We have an advocate when Satan accuses us. We have an advocate when others accuse us. Look at Romans 8 behind me on the screen. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to do that? God is the one who justifies. Who can possibly condemn us? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. We know that our Redeemer lives. Amen? Look at Hebrews 12, written to suffering people. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangled us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. No matter how hard your life is, run the race with endurance. How do you run it? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When Satan accuses us, when others accuse us, we know our Redeemer lives. There is so much in this wonderful book that I have skipped. Please read every word of this wonderful book, and may God be exalted in your mind and heart. May God be exalted to his proper place as you read this book. And may you humble yourself before him in faith and trust. If you do not know Jesus, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're saying, there's someone on my side, what is that all about? Please come and talk to the elders. We'll be right over here and we will explain Jesus to you. If you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you do not have the forgiveness that he offers. Please come and talk to the elders, and we'll explain how you can accept the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. The book of Job, Trinity, a gift to the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for this book. May our faith be strengthened as we read it. In Jesus' name, amen.